and bless you the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thanks for coming. First, make a couple of not announcements but comments. First of all, regarding our method so far in going over these questions and answers, I got another letter from Sister Frederick from Calcutta, and she was in Rome on Friday, and I spoke to her in Rome. And they really are more eager or anxious to get an explanation of the answers than I realized. And it affects, as you know, over 3,000 sisters. So I promised her that I would work extra hard and maybe write out as many of the comments as I can and not depend, as I haven't, depending on our classes here, because this will go on and on. In the meantime, the sisters have been writing from different countries and asked for an explanation. And this is her fourth letter that I got from Sister Frederick. And she was just so grateful that I called. At any rate, what I thought I would do tonight, let's do as we have planned, you see. But then starting from our next meeting, to work out some other system, but I would not depend on my meetings here. And also, as you know, in the nature of things, I talk a little longer than maybe any one question, I don't say deserves, because I want to, this is a kind of a class situation. And then by next week I'll figure out some system. We may continue what we're doing, and then I'll just, as I'm already doing, I'll writing out my explanation. Then the plan would be to put this into a book, because you've got over 2,000 questions, and from 100 to 150 words that I've written out so far per question. That's a good sized book. So I just thought I'd share that with you, that I will have to, by next week, make another decision, which I have not fully made yet, as to how we will have our classes. I'd like to make these classes. Moreover, it might be that, having planned for some time concentrating on the catechetical, it might be the next week you might begin working on the spiritual side, because there's both the doctrinal and the spiritual formation. Maybe the Lord is telling me something to, well, go easy on the doctrinal for a while, because you fellows need also, further spiritual formation. Bill?
One possibility, Father, is that the material that you're writing out for the sisters, you also give a copy to us, and then dedicate the time in class to a discussion of your answers.
After we have that, could be too, because then that might be a possibility, or we do the typing, you see, because what I'm doing is explaining the reason for a given answer, and I'm literally going through each one. So thanks, Bill. Also, in my second hearing aid, see, the first one I lost, second one came apart. I've got some scotch tape, but kind of hard on the ear, so if you don't mind speaking a little louder when you talk, okay? Then, that's number one. Number two is, I would like to ask for some volunteers on a project which is very, you might say, consistent with our Ignatian catechetical apostolate, And that's from a fellow by the name of Edward Clark from San Antonio. He had owned a computer corporation in New Jersey. His wife, they're not young anymore, was fading in health. They had to go south, so they're now living in San Antonio. But Edward Clark, we've known each other for about 10 years, has thought out an idea of using the computer and making it available for providing people, not only Catholics throughout the country, for information about the Catholic Church. The Protestants are doing, as you know, all kinds of things already. Well, what I have here, I won't go into further explanation, but what I have here is this project, and this would be on the spiritual life. And he's drawing on approved sources in the computer field. He contacted a number of associations, for example, Catholic Library Association, then the American Theological Library Association. In other words, Ed is interested in promoting the faith. This would be one format, but there would be other possibilities. This is what he gave me, and I'd appreciate if somebody would, well, pick it up. And what I might do is maybe pass it around, okay, and that somebody then would bite into it.
Right.
So having said that, also this, I think you people have seen, John, you have seen this, of course, the Apostolic Constitution on promoting the study of Latin. Now, may I ask, do you people, could by next meeting, John, could somebody get, didn't I ask somebody to do that? But so far, I don't think nothing has happened. Shall we get a copy of the English translation of that? Could you, John? Would you track it down, please? Because the promotion of Latin is really more important than most of us realize. And in teaching, by the way, I was in Tijuana for 8 days, and I also did in Tijuana, I told the sisters, in fact, I gave them an assignment to work on the Latin. I gave them, as a start, about 60 basic Latin terms. And I'd like to, if you wouldn't mind, fellas, I would like to share with you maybe next week or the week after on a method of learning Latin from your English. There is a system by the law of linguistics. In other words, Latin is much too important for the church. So, that, I want to share that with you. Now, what lesson were we on, fellas?
Five.
Please?
Number five.
What page was that?
15.
15, eh?
36 through 95, 36.
Okay. So, let's then pick up with the angels on page 15. Next week, as I said, by next week I will have made another shift, because I think we should, in the light of what I've got to do for the Missionaries of Charity, I think I ought to be a little more expeditious than I have been in going over these questions and responses. So number 36, angels are individual persons. They are. In fact, every person is an individual. So that strictly speaking, it would be even more correct to say angels are persons. To say they're individual persons is redundant. In other words, it might almost be put down as false. Not because it's not true, but because it is unnecessary.
In fact, St. Thomas says that each angel is a species unto themselves.
Please?
Each angel is a species unto himself.
A species too. Well, that's hypothetical. That's hypothetical. What is not hypothetical, that each angel is a person. So, in other words, individual persons could even be said to be false because it's unnecessary. Now, the moment we say person, and we need that, as you know, for many other sections of our faith, a person is an individual, intelligent being. And it's distinct from nature. Nature answers to the question of what someone is. Person answers to the question of who someone is. Number 37. Angels can think and choose. In other words, they have both a mind and a will. But let's remind ourselves that the angels can not only think, which is the basic level of intellectual activity, they can also judge. So they can think, they can judge, they can conclude, they can reach decisions, still with the intellect. And they can choose. But not only can they choose, and the three words that I think I've given, not sure, to you already, but in teaching the functions of the will, I found it most useful to say that the will can desire, can choose, and can love. So that the first basic power of the will is to desire. Of course, what is good. To choose, then, that is to use one's liberty, and then among the desirable objects, to choose one. Question: Can the angels choose what is evil?
Not any longer.
Question: Could the angels,
yes,
in their first state, choose what is evil?
Yes.
Yes. That's why there are devils. That, by the way, is a good definition of the devil. An angel who chose evil. And has been choosing evil ever since. And then, John?
Once you said that love is...
Please?
You said love.
Yes.
Sustained decision.
Is what?
Sustained decision.
Yes. Sustained choice.
Sustained choice.
See, theologically, we reserve decision for the mind. We still reserve it for the mind. A lot of people who talk English don't make the distinction. But strictly speaking, we still decide with the mind. But then, having decided with the mind, we are still free not to choose what even we have decided would be a good thing. Just because something would be good doesn't mean that I've actually choose that good. And love would be sustained choice, which of course would also be sustained decision, but more immediately sustained choice. 38, the good angels merited to remain in heaven. Is that true? Nobody merits to remain in heaven. You either merit heaven and get there. And once you're there, yeah, you're just there. You cannot either lose heaven or, for that matter, have to merit to remain in heaven. The good angels merited heaven, that's correct. But the good angels merited to remain in heaven, that's not correct. Because the implication behind the remain in heaven is that you get married in heaven. All merit stops with, you know, the, for us, the dawn of eternity, and for the angels, well, the merit ended with their probation. When the probation was completed, they then either merited heaven, or we have to use the word that we don't usually say it, merited hell.
When the angels were tested,
yes.
The angels were tested, it was not in heaven.
That's right.
Heaven was created after the test.
How's what?
Heaven was created after the test.
Yes, in other words, yes, in a strict theological sense, heaven is the experience of God. And we speak of God being in heaven, yeah, we can use that language, but only because there are creatures also in heaven. Yes, heaven began, we may say, heaven began once the angels who had remained faithful to God entered the Beatific Vision, as hell began once those angels who had been unfaithful to God entered their eternal punishment. But in both cases, it is the will, the created will, that we don't usually say deserve, rather merited, but the human will deserves hell, or the created will, if it dies estranged from God. So hell began, right, hell began with the fall of the angels. Heaven began with the good angels entering their eternal glory. Only the good angels are pure spirits. No. The essence of pure spirit is no body. In other words, the word in English is misleading. But a pure spirit is a pure spirit which is not embodied. Ours, to sustain the term, and we don't like to use this, but ours are not pure spirits. Our souls are spiritual indeed, but they are embodied spirits. So the devil is also, in the theological sense, a pure spirit. 40. The primary role of angels is to serve human beings. No, not the primary role. The primary role of the angels is to glorify God. Now you notice, I'm now using angels from 39 on without distinguishing always good angels this and bad angels that. Maybe normally, when we use the word angels in English, we mean the good angels. So their primary role is to adore, to glorify God. And therefore the 41 is also false. The secondary role of the angels is to adore God. No, it's just the opposite. It would not be quite correct to say that the primary role of the angels is to glorify God. It wouldn't be quite correct, because in serving human beings, the angels also glorify God. They glorify God in two ways. They glorify God directly by acknowledging who He is with our minds and adoring Him with our wills. Or we also glorify God by doing His will. You might say, well, adoring God is doing His will. However, God is also glorified, to say the least, by our doing His will in doing other things which are not explicitly and overtly the adoration of God. Then 42, not all angels have the same dignity. That's right. And that, by the way, if it's prosaic or kind of undisturbing, when we speak of the angels, then all angels have the same dignity. We have no trouble saying Of course they don't all have the same dignity. But what we should say, we're a little slower to answer yes, not all human beings have the same dignity. And of course, because they're not being angels, they're not competitive with us. But I cannot tell you how many students over the years have taken issue with my saying that God does not love all human beings the same way. They don't have the same dignity. They're not all equally holy. Not all human beings, no two human beings, receive the same grace. All kinds of problems that arise in our minds about God's justice. Look, thank God you're not a flea. Really. And it takes for some people, even the lifetime is too short to learn it, that whatever we have, we should thank God for what we have, because it has been a gift from God. And 43, angels are corporeal. No, just to make sure that we got our vocabulary straight. In other words, they neither have a body, therefore they are not themselves bodily creatures. No, they can be perceived by the senses. So they're not corporeal, either objectively or subjectively. They are not objectively composed of body and spirit, nor subjectively can they be perceived, except by the mind. And while we're on the subject, the angels exchange thoughts, even conversation. And a lot of human beings could learn from the angels that, first of all, you don't even have to have a body to talk. In fact, I'm afraid some people use their bodies, they're not really talking. Just oozing words. They're not even ideas communicated. Number 44. The angels were all originally in the grace of God. That's the church's common teaching. But notice, in the grace of God is not the same as, technically, in the glory of God, which would be in heaven. In other words, the word glory has a variety of meanings. And one meaning that it has is in contradistinction to grace. Both grace and glory are supernatural. But grace is a supernatural life and activity that we have or perform in this world. Glory is a supernatural life we hope we'll be living and performing of the life to come. So the angels were all originally in the grace of God, but they had to merit entering the glory of God. 45. Angels do not exist from all eternity. That's an article of faith. And as such, the angels are not a strict mystery. In other words, already the Greek pagan philosophers, Socrates, Plato, they spoke of a spiritual world, created world, without having had revelation. In other words, we can reason, and it's almost common sense. We are a composite of body and spirit. You know, there are many things in the world all around us that are not spiritual. So common sense would tell us that God would also have created a world that is not corporeal, but created. Even if he created a world which is not spiritual, the material world. Okay. However, we need to have the light of faith to know that angels did not exist from all eternity. Now we can prove that if they had to exist from all eternity, it would be almost a contradiction in terms, because only God can be said that he must have existed from all eternity. 46 angels can teach us. Yes, that's their main role. The main role of the angels is to teach us. That, by the way, speaking to Ignatian catechists, that is the bedrock of Ignatian spirituality in terms of the angels. The angels are primarily messengers from God. In fact, the word angelos, as you know, means a messenger. What does a messenger do? Communicate? Well, what else? A message. In God's ordinary providence, this is Ignatius, the grace that we receive in his ordinary providence come to us from God through the angels. And I would else add, and through human beings. In other words, no less than the angels are channels of grace, so human beings are, and we should be. You might say that's the angels' apostolate, to teach.
Father, you said that the angels' main apostle is to teach us. That isn't to contradistinct the statement that you made earlier about the primary role of the angels is to adore God, is it?
No, no. In other words, once we recognize that their function in our regard is secondary, then within that secondary, there can be a primary and a secondary. Now, the matching of the terms. Here's my combination. Angelos, I make 50. Messenger. That's what the word angelos means. One who is sent to, well, to communicate from the one who sends to the one to whom the messenger is sent. And notice, is it the order of the mind? It's one mind, the mind of the center, of the sender, informing the mind of the messenger, who in turn enlightens the mind of the one to whom he was sent. Okay. I might also add that angelos, at least in Catholic vocabulary, is not merely a casual messenger, but one who is deputed, sent with the express mission to teach. Pure spirit, 52, no materiality. We may have touched on this before, but we can never get it too clear. Materiality, of course, is distinguished from spirituality. So the strictest meaning of spirituality is non-materiality. But then when we say no materiality, we mean maybe two things. On the one hand, a pure spirit positively can think and will, which matter cannot do. That's a good definition of matter. As the converse is the definition of spirit. That's positively. Negatively, material is that which can't be perceived by the senses. And the spirit, like the angelic, is not sensibly perceptible. It is only interiorly perceptible. And as often as we've heard it, but let me tell you, only spirit can perceive spirit. Only spirit can know spirit. Only spirit can communicate with spirit. And this, of course, refers both to the angels and for ourselves too. Person, 47, individual, intelligent.
Person, materiality is Jesus in the Eucharist? Did you say Jesus is materially present in the Eucharist?
Is he materially present in the Eucharist? Objectively, yes. Yes. And that's a good question, because Descartes, the founder of Cartesian philosophy, on his premises, there would not really be a real bodily presence of Christ, because he defined matter as actual extension in space, sensibly perceptible. Well, we believe that Christ is there in both spirit and body. And because objectively, as far as Christ is concerned, he is there in body and soul. But subjectively, on our part, we cannot perceive him. The limitation is not in Christ. He's there. The limitation is in us. And thanks for the question, because it indicated that a lot of priests, how sadly well I know, they are, being charitable, very confused about the real presence. Okay, Angelology 54, Study of the Angels. Now, the ending, ology, is a little more than study, although the answer is correct. Strictly speaking, it is the science of the angels, not merely our studying about the angels, but is the whole science of the angels. And by the way, it was mentioned St. Thomas earlier. That's the main reason he's called the angelic doctor. There is no doctor of the church who has written more extensively and more profoundly, and I would also say more authoritatively, about the angels than St. Thomas. Question after question, thousands of words on the angels. And the church accepts his angelology, which itself is a synthesis of 1,000 years of the church's reflection on the angels, which then Thomas in the 13th century synthesized. Beatific Vision 48, Seeing God in Heaven. I think every word there is important. There is a sense in which we do see God already on earth, but by faith. We told him the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Well, the Beatitudes are meant for people already in this life. However, there is a difference between, obviously, seeing God on earth by faith and seeing him in heaven by vision. And the difference, of course, is, we'll touch on this again, that in heaven, even our knowledge, say, of other things, and not only God, on earth, the knowledge that we have on earth, and only the knowledge we have by faith, is really what we would call mediate or mediated knowledge. In other words, even the knowledge of ourselves, in the strictest philosophical sense, we do not see ourselves. We need ideas, and our imagination needs the internal senses. We see ourselves through ideas and through sense images. We hear ourselves talking. We look into the mirror, we don't have to look in the mirror. We see, but in other words, there's a difference between seeing God and seeing anyone else. In heaven, we shall see God in a way that is analogous to the way that he sees himself. And the analogies we use is face to face. That we see God as he is. We call it a vision of God. But all of those are only comparisons. In other words, seeing God is an approximation of the kind of self-knowledge which the three persons have of one another. He has given his angels, 55, charge over you. That, if you wish, is the second function of the angels on their apostolic mission. They are both to teach us, and in that sense, guide us. They are first, therefore, our guiding spirits, and only then are they our guardian spirits, charge over you, protecting us from evil. Creator of all things spiritual and corporeal, 49. That's the definition of the fourth letter of the council, defining God's creating all things spiritual and corporeal. In other words, it is defined doctrine that God created pure spirits, which we call angels, and corporeal, which can be in entirely material, or those that are a combination of both body and spirit, like ourselves. Let it be done according to your will, 51, and the angel left her. In other words, in what gospel does that occur?
Luke.
The evangelist of Our Lady. And 53, Peter the Apostle. It is his angel. Remember, and he was missing, well, he was incarcerated, and then he shows up unexpectedly. They didn't expect him. So, remember, he rapped at the door, and did he open the door?
The doormaid opened the door.
He opened the door.
The door said,
no, I'm not. Did they close the door back in his face, or did they close the door? See, which, by the way, is Luke's way. See, Luke is the historian. He wants to make sure that these people had no expectation. You see, that Peter would show up. Well, he showed up, all right.
That's a proof of scripture. That
yeah. So. And in other words, they were not what you don't expect. Once you're convinced that it's there, is more credible and recalled or narrated than if they were, oh, Peter is here. How did he get here? Did I give you up to, how far did I give you?
95.
To 90?
95.
Next page, folks. Boy. What time is it, my friend?
You're a hard man, Father.
Please?
You're a hard man.
Oh, let's see. I had a watch here somewhere.
7:45.
Okay.
7:45.
7:45. Okay.
45 more minutes.
Is this okay, fathers?
Good.
Okay. Origin of the first man. True or false? The first man was created in the state of grace. True. Now, the state of grace can have a number of synonyms. The first man was created in the friendship of God. The first man was created in the era of heaven. The first man was created with a supernatural life. Okay. So, that's what state of grace means. And notice first man. And that's where the feminists, they've got problems with Genesis.
Oh.
And now, as you probably know, and the translators, what they won't do to sell books to the to the feminists, you know. To all kinds of somersaults they'll turn. In spite of the Hebrew, it couldn't be clear. So, number 57. The body of Adam, before the fall, was meant to be immortal. Yes. It was God's intention. Now, we should add at the same time that both the body and the soul of Adam, before the fall, were meant to be immortal. And then when he sinned, and by sinning, well, lost divine friendship, you might say, committed supernatural suicide, then his bodily mortality was a consequence of his spiritual mortality. He died.
Strictly speaking, wasn't his bodily immortality a gift above human nature?
Yes. Okay. Yes. In other words, the human body is not naturally mortal. Is not naturally immortal. It is naturally mortal. So we have three terms, I'm sure you know. Natural, preternatural, and supernatural. And the preter in Latin means beside, alongside of. Super means above. Just the technical terminology. In other words, bodily immortality is not strictly supernatural. Is not totally above or beyond created nature. We have to give it the name of preternatural. It's a gift. And also notice, and the preternatural gifts were lost because the supernatural life was lost. See? The supernatural life was lost deliberately, willfully. And the punishment was, besides, of course, the loss of the supernatural life, the punishment was the loss of the preternatural gifts. Number 59, 58. Our first parents had concupiscence before the fall. No. In other words, their desires were under control. Under control of what? Under the control of their wills. So they could not sin by any inherent, or you say, intrinsic temptation. They could only sin by being tempted by a mind and a will outside of them. And Eve, therefore, had to be tempted by the devil. And the